continuing with our conversation ahead of the International Peace Day. And of course, today we are with Moa Bosco Anthony. He's the Director for Conflict Resolution and Social Cohesion from the Ministry of Peace Building. We also have Helen Oleo, who is the conflict sensitivity focal point for the World Food Programme. And yes, just to remember, the tomorrow, Thursday, the 21st of September, the world will be observing the International Day of Peace. And it is an important day for all of us to reflect on the actions that we take in pursuit of peace. And we continue. Yes, starting with you, Moa. I mean, welcome to the programme. Just give us an overview of the work done by the Ministry of Peacebuilding in South Sudan, most specifically as your role as Director for Conflict Resolution and Social Cohesion.
Thank you very much, Irene. Thank you for having me on the radio. Thank you for inviting me to speak to my people.
Right.
Good morning, everybody, every listeners outside there. I'm going to give you a brief summary of what the Ministry of Peacebuilding is doing in South Sudan. Our national ministry has a new approach to peace. As you may know, peace is not only the absence of war or armed conflicts, but there are a lot of conflicts that disrupt peace in our country. So together, the Ministry of Peace and the stakeholders, our partners, we are thinking of a holistic approach where we could all work together. We have other activities, which is like community dialogues, resolution of conflicts in the communities. We have trainings on peaceful cohesions. Sometimes we go out mapping the conflict areas. Also, sometimes we are called by the people where there is conflict. They call us to help them have dialogue, community dialogue, organized by their own. These are community initiatives, and we fall suit immediately. We had this year, for instance, in Pariang, between the Meziria and the Dinkas. We had also community dialogues with the people of Jekang in Unity State. And we had also with the people of Munri, Yambio, and all many others, which will come in these few months remaining of this year. Mm-hmm. We continue having people realize the solutions to their conflicts by themselves. Not that a solution that is imposed from the government or from anybody. That's why we have dialogue, where they find the root cause of their problems and the solutions.
Right. So why is it important for South Sudanese to own the revitalizer agreement on the resolution of conflict in the country?
This is very important because since it was, the dialogue was taken outside there and the agreement was done outside there, it does not mean necessarily it is not something suitable for South Sudan or something imposed. Mm-hmm. Our Sudanese people must know exactly what is their stand on this peace agreement, own it, have it as their own, and work on it. Mm-hmm. Not only the government work on it, but we have to work on it together. Each and every individual must do something to realize this peace agreement.
Right.
So that it becomes our own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Helen, how does the WFP contribute to cultivating peace in our communities?
Thank you very much, Erin, for having me here. Good morning, South Sudan. Before I answer that question, please allow me to briefly talk about even why WFP is very interested in contributing to peace in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, the World Food Programme actually received the Nobel Peace Prize for its effort to combat hunger and also for its contribution to bettering conditions for peace in conflict-affected areas, as well also for acting as a driving force in efforts to prevent the use of hunger as a weapon for war and conflict. As the world's largest humanitarian actor, WFP fully recognizes the inseparability of Sustainable Development Goal, which is number 2, on zero hunger, and also Sustainable Development Goal number 16, which is on peace, justice, and strong institution. In South Sudan, conflict and limited livelihood opportunities you know, is one of the major driver of hunger. And I think it's not just South Sudan, it's also elsewhere where affected by conflict.
Right.
So as an organization focusing on food security and livelihoods with heavy presence in conflict-affected contexts like the South Sudan, the World Food Program has a major role to play in addressing hunger as well as the root causes of violence in South Sudan. So I just want to give a quick example, like just to talk about some of the impact of conflict and why really WFP is very interested in addressing that. You know, in South Sudan here, the national or subnational violence actually presents one of the greatest risks to food security and livelihood.
Mm.
And the impact of the conflict on food security sometimes can be as deadly as the violence itself.
Mm.
So, for example, when the conflict happens, you know, livelihood, including farmlands, are destroyed and homes are burned down and the communities run to safety. So this affects their ability to actually plant, for example, crops, which is one of the tools for fighting food insecurity. So how is WFP contributing to peace in South Sudan? This is a very great question.
Mm-hmm.
So WFP is leveraging its humanitarian and resilience programming in the hotspots for hunger and also organized violence, including in hard-to-reach locations across large parts of the country, to make more proactive contribution to peace.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Helen, for that elaborative explanation. Mawa, our societies, like you heard from Helen, we have subnational conflict, we have conflict all over. Well, and our society has been fragmented because of that. So, what possible ways can the government partner government and partners do to address such challenges? And we've also seen recurring conflicts happening.
Yes, Irene, this is a very important question, because as I said before, the government by itself may impose peace but not bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
To have peace, we need our people to be proactive, accept their conflict, find the root cause of their conflict, and find the solutions. And to this, the people only need to be guided. The people need to be guided. Both the government and the partners working in peace should really, I think, put more effort in educating the people, especially the youth, who are prey always to different, ideologies. They can be used at any time for violence or for good. We need to channel the right path through the youth where they can be productive and very positive productive, not negative production. Also, the government has already made a policy. As a Minister of Peace, we have made a policy guiding the actors working in peace, in the field of peace building. We need to have a general united effort and principles for working for peace building.
Mm.
So if we make this joint effort, we shall do one thing. If it is correct, we shall all go correct.
Right.
If each do his or her own work, it would be different, certainly, and will not meet the interests of the people.
Mm.
Let the people speak to us of their problem. Then we guide them towards solution.
Okay.
Otherwise, we don't have to give them solutions. We shall never solve that problem. Thank you
so much, Mawa. Helen, like you heard there, it's usually the young people that are swayed here and there. So how can the young people join and contribute to the national theme, Me and You for Peace in South Sudan?
Thank you very much once again. So there's so many ways in which the young people can actually, you know, join the conversation on Me and You for Peace in South Sudan. For example, the young people can actually meaningfully participate in dialogues and peace process, something I think which historically they have been excluded from. So in most cases, sometimes you'll find that the dialogues and peace conversations are happening and the young people, they are not there to articulate some of the issues that is affecting them. And as well as also to propose some of the mechanism of they think can actually resolve the issues that is facing the youth. youth.
Right.
But also, we can also meaningfully, you know, the youth can support the accountability process, and that can only happen when they're given a chance, you know, to be part of community governance forum, you know, and this is where most of these issues are discussed. And also they can support stability through their participation in protection teams that conduct an armed community policing. And we can also train these youths in, you know, in nonviolent dispute resolutions mechanism. And I think these are some of the ways also that the youth can actually, you know, join together for peace in Sudan. And there's so many other ways that the youths can as well join.
Right. Well, just tell us more about the work that WFP is doing with the young people in Jonglei, Greater Peabody Administrative Area, and Greater Thony in Warrap to promote peace.
Okay. Thank you. That's a great question. You know, in these areas that you have mentioned, for example, the Jonglei and Greater Peabody Administrative Area, as well as the Greater Thony in Warrap, you know, these areas, they have, you know, faced persistence and large-scale violence that has been impacting the civilians and also their livelihood. And also we have seen that in the last, or maybe in the past decades, efforts to address conflict have not generally led to a meaningful and sustained peace among communities in South Sudan. And I think there are so many reasons that contribute to that. And one of them is the fact that, sometimes the dialogues and the engagement, they have not been embedded within an intentional and sequenced peace-building process that is based on community-given recommendations, you know. And also sometimes some of these resolutions, there are so many peaceful resolutions that we have had, but in most cases they are not implemented.
Right.
You know, and also people or the communities themselves, they do not see visible peace dividends or maybe mechanism that has been put in place to contain some of the new catalytic incidents. So to address these gaps, that is why WFP and its partners, including, for example, the Peace Canal, Nonviolent Peace Force, VSF Germany, we have the UNHCR, UNDP, UNMISS, and even Save the Children and many other partners, in these locations, they have designed this program, you know, specifically with the greatest intent to contribute to community violence reduction over a multi-year period.
Right.
So these projects are actually both funded by the Reconciliation, Stabilization, and Resilience Trust Fund. So in the aim of the project is that to support these communities affected by violence, you know, to exercise agencies in non-violence ways. And this can be done through collaborative, and also when we have consensus-building processes that can actually lead to improvement for the communities on a collaborative, on a material level. And that has to be based on the priorities that was identified by the community themselves.
Right.
For example, let me just talk about an example. In Jonglei and Greater Peabody Administrative Areas, one of the key issues that the community have mentioned from both sides is that abduction of women and children is one of our, you know, of our biggest problem, for example. Mm-hmm. They have identified the issue and they say to address this issue, we need to stop abduction,
right.
And also those who have been abducted must be returned back. So WFP and partners are working around reconciliation issues, stabilization issues, and bringing all the different type of resilience programming as identified by the communities to the communities to disincentivize violence.
Thank you so much. And because of time, we'll be concluding, but Mawa, tell us about tomorrow. I mean, 21st of September will be the International Day of Peace. What is the significance of this day, and how will it be celebrated in South Sudan? In just 2 minutes, please.
This is a very important day. Internationally, the UN General Assembly had declared that this day should be for observance of peace, 24 hours of observance of peace. And South Sudan is not exempted from that. We are also participating that and celebrating that tomorrow. And this is where we invite all the people, our listeners outside there, who can come to hear their leaders speak of peace, the voice of peace, what their people have to say about peace in South Sudan.
Right.
Let's all converge in Yakuron Cultural Center, where these activities will be taking place. This day is important for each and every individual. That is why our theme is me and you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the peace starts with me, then you. Let us all participate together in order to bring about peace and social cohesion in the country. There will be speeches from the government. There will be speeches from our partners, speeches from civil society, and then many others, activities like dances. We have artists also coming to give their voice for peace.
Mm-hmm.
So this day is very important, and it is a stepping stone towards the greater part of the citizens to hear the voice of peace and go on disseminating it.
All right.
Peace is not one day's activity, but tomorrow is already the stepping stone. It's a way forward.
That's right.
Yes.
Mama Bosco Anthony and Helen Oleo, thank you so much for your time.